Good evening. Today is August 20th, and we're having a new series of talks available, and we're starting with meditation, the importance of meditation, and what is meditation, and what is it all about? Why is it so important? Why is everybody jumping on this train of meditating? The purpose of meditation is the end goal is to connect with your soul. So that you can't connect to your soul the first time that you sit in a dark room is not very surprising. And we're going to find out why tonight and why meditation is a lifelong process and not just something that you do on one weekend. Why is it important to do the meditation to connect with your soul? It's because it's in those quiet moments that your soul can get through and deliver the messages. Your soul is the key to being able to figure out what your soul purpose is, and also to be able to accomplish what you came here on earth to accomplish. Now, we're going with the basic that you're more than just a physical envelope in which you are in now. You are the soul, and that spark of your soul is inside of you, but the greater part of your soul is outside of you. So there's an actual door inside of you that connects with this soul and that can contact it, talk to it, and be guided by it. But in order to do that, we will need to be letting the soul drive the bus or the train and not ego. Where do we start? I often hear people coming to me and saying, well, I can't meditate. I can assure you everybody can meditate. A lot of people don't know how to meditate, and that's the difference. So there's nothing that you cannot do. You just need to learn how to do them first. Some people say, well, I can't meditate because I have ADHD. I said, again, ADHD is only an excuse, not a cause. Some people say, well, I have anxiety. I can't sit still. There's a solution for that. There are different types of meditation. Again, a lot of people picture doing what I did this weekend, sitting facing a blank wall for 45 minutes, staring at white space. You know, you don't just do that. And for some people, they don't see the point anyway. So if you understand what you're doing something for, then it becomes easier to actually do it. Some people say, I can't quiet my mind. Well, figure out why today and how we can finally quiet the mind to get to the ultimate goal of finding the peace. And some people say to me, well, I don't have a special room to meditate. You don't need a special room. You don't need a special cushion. You don't need a special music. You don't need anything to meditate. And that's the beauty of meditation. It's affordable and you can do it anywhere. And then the last one I hear often is, I don't have time to meditate. Because people have this concept that meditation must last at least an hour. And interestingly enough, for the students that I teach Reiki to, I tell them, all I want from you is 15 minutes in the morning. Start with that. And once you see the benefit that 15 minutes in the morning bring to you, perhaps you can do 15 minutes or 30 minutes in the evening. And once you realize the benefit of that, then maybe you'll set aside some time on your lunch hour to meditate. So we're going to learn how to meditate and the steps to meditation tonight. I'm taking the concept, a Tibetan concept, of the three doors. The Buddhism teachers are teaching that you must open three doors in order to attain peace. Those three doors go through your five bodies. So you must start with a place in the physical body. There's no door. You're in it. And then we will move through your physical body into your mind. And that's where people say, I can't quiet the mind. And then we'll go from the mind and a door will open and onto our heart. And then from the heart, a last door will open, which will take us to our soul. So it's not a quick process. It's a process that you must first work on the one in order for this door to open, to access the next place. And if it's the same thing. Someone wants to do the silent meditation and not move and not think and be completely blank and at peace right away is the same thing as saying, well, I signed up for a marathon, but I've never run in my life. It requires training. It requires preparation. And it requires time. So like anything else worth doing, it's worth learning how to do it appropriately in the first place and then aligning yourself for that. There are several types of meditation. If you can recognize the type that you're usually practicing and you see the benefit of using a different method to align your other bodies with these meditation, then you can gain from that. And it's not to say that if you're already really good at sitting in silence, facing a blank wall, that you wouldn't benefit from the emotional meditation or from a different meditation. Because sometimes, you know, some methods are really good mentally, but you're not doing anything emotionally. So it's good to vary your practice in order to have access to these different modalities. I write it down, but I'm really on top of it. So meditation, it depends where you're practicing from. What's your training? Is it from a yoga training? Is it from a monastery training? Is it for a prayer, true prayer? Some people do meditation that way. So you have to try and find your style in here tonight to say, oh, so I've been working towards this body. And recognize how you can work with the other bodies. Eventually, you will hear the small, still voice, they call it. It's not a very loud voice. It's not an ordering you about voice. It's a small voice. And sometimes it will whisper to you simply, I love you. And who could not use that moment of hearing those words being whispered into your ear? Knowing that you're unique and no matter where you are in the world, you can still have that message given to you. So this message of the soul eventually becomes guidance. And this is the guidance we're all looking for. It doesn't come from a book. It comes from the soul. You can read a million books. I know I have. But eventually, those books are only fitting at 10% for you and your circumstances and your situation. And it never feels complete. Whereas your soul is you. It knows you. It knows where you are. It knows where you've been. And it knows what it needs to accomplish next. So receiving the proper guidance for her trajectory, her journey, is the key to meditation or the end goal. So we'll start with the physical body. Now, how many of you could sit through this hour and a half presentation without moving, without budging, without shifting, without scratching, right? We're trying to focus our mind on what's being said, and we're ignoring the body, right? So I worked in an office where I had to sit on a certain chair at a certain desk, right? And I'm supposed to sit there and work. This is extremely taxing for the body. Because you're preventing all movement, or you're limiting the movement of this body to a very restricted space or organization. Yes. And so you're having a stiff joint, or you're getting a headache, or you're needing fresh air, but you can't get out yet because the boss says you're paused. You can't pause until 10:30. And so you're telling your body, not now, not now, not now. No, I can't do this right now. I can't have a headache. So what do we do? Instead of listening to the body and going down for a stretch or going for a walk outside and coming back in or honoring our body, we're taking Advil, Tylenol, and you know, other painkillers or muscle relaxants, or depending on how bad the pain gets and how long you've been ignoring your body, then we take more and more and more. Sometimes they become part of our daily regimen. Let's think of acid reflux. That's the funniest commercial I've ever seen. There's a plate of food. The person knows that if they're eating this food, they'll get acid reflux. Instead of honoring their body and the body saying, I don't want this food, they're eating it anyway, but they're just going to take more pills later on to counteract the effect. Yeah, we're all following me here, yeah? Okay. So how often do we do that in our lives? How often are we ignoring the message of our body, For example, especially for women, men are more comfortable in their shoes, but oh, you have to look pretty. You're wearing a dress. You should wear high heels. Yes, but they're not comfortable. They're squishing my toes. They're hurting my back. And I feel a little wobbly. Yes, but you look pretty this way. Right. So you put up with it. And you put little cushions in there. And then you massage your feet when you get home. But you're ignoring your body. So do we have an example of when we're ignoring our body? Anyone, jump in. When do you ignore your body?
When I'm tired. Ah,
when we're tired, we don't go to bed. Why don't we go to bed? Oh, I have to do the dishes. I have to fold the laundry. I have to watch this TV show that's on at 10, even though I'm tired since 9:30, but I will stay up and watch that, right? Another example of when we're ignoring our body. I'm hungry.
I was just going to say, I'm hungry, and it's not break time yet.
It's not break time yet. So what do? We open a snack. That's completely unhealthy. It won't satisfy your body, but you're saying to your body, well, you're hungry, here's food, shut up. Your body says, okay, yeah, that's food, but that's not what I want. I want real food, right? When is another time that we're ignoring our body? There's really...
You have to go to the bathroom at work and you're stuck at your desk.
Right? So that's another one, right? You need to go and you can't go. We're regimenting our body. I was a policewoman for 20 years, so I drove in a police car. And whenever my body says I need to pee, I was like, yeah, let's consider this. You have to take the gun belt. You have to take this off. You have to take that off. And now you're on the road in a police car and you have to find a place to go, you know, and you can't. So for years, I ignored those callings that you should just go to the washroom or, you know, you're at a crime scene and you can't leave. We're forcing our bodies into this very, very tight space of constant discomfort. And then we get surprised when all of a sudden we wake up one day and we can't walk or we can't move our arm and we're like, oh, I don't know why, it's hurting. Well, it tried to send you the more subtle messages, but you didn't listen. Or we wake up one day and we've gained weight. Oh, how did that happen? Well, how have you been eating? And again, I'm taking examples about me. I'm 20 years as a policewoman. I didn't eat properly. We make fun of the donuts and stuff, but we have to eat really fast in between calls. We don't necessarily eat healthy, so we'll grab something quick because, you know, sitting down, having a meal, preparing a meal, forget it. There's no time to prepare the meal, but if you're lucky enough to be able to go home and grab a bite to eat, it has to be microwave and it has to be quick. Can't be anything long. It can't take long to eat. You have to eat really fast. Again, it's not good for the body. Right? So we're doing all these things to our body. And our body is really generous, and it gives us a little bit of leeway, and it says, well, okay, I'll let it go this time, and well, okay, I'll let it slide, and yeah, sure. Until eventually, we wake up and our body refuses to function. So is that surprising that after all this, you go sit in your little cushion, and you say, okay, now, I'll relax now. And your body says, oh, sure, sure. By the way, I have a message for you. And that's when your knee starts to twitch, and that's when you're feeling the pain in your arm, or that's when all of a sudden you realize just how intense you are. But you weren't allowing those messages through before. So the first part of meditating is to honor the body. The first part of meditating is understanding your body's been trying to talk to you sometimes for years, and you neglected to listen. So imagine a little child. Those of you who have children, those of you who don't, imagine a little niece or whatever. And mom, 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 are they going to stop until they are heard? Absolutely not. You're going to keep pulling on your shirt and then finally you go, yes. And it's sometimes insignificant, right? Look, I can't find my red pen. Or, you know, I don't know where my dog went. And you're like, not right now, right? We're doing the same thing to everything. But eventually, what does happen is the child stops asking you. And then we wonder why they get in trouble. Right? And our bodies are the same. Our body eventually stops talking to us and just sends up a big whop. So the first part of meditating should be focused on the physical body. And this is the most strenuous part of them all. It's the most sometimes annoying or painful, if whatever you want to call it. Because the idea is to sit, and you're allowed to have your eyes open. But the point is, try not to move. And then listen to the message your body gives you. Like right now, just sitting like this, even though my eyes are open and I'm talking, I'm telling my body, okay, bring awareness to me. What are you feeling? And I've been hunched all day, so, you know, my body says, well, we could use this little stretch in the shoulder. Okay, okay, noted. And because I acknowledge the body says, oh, okay, well, as long as you know this was not comfortable and you should find a better seated position, then I'll let it go. And this works. This actually works. And then you keep listening. If you're feeling a tension, okay, so where does the tension come from? And talk to your body, and your body will answer. Tension comes from staring at a screen. The screen is too bright, or the screen is too close. Or, like, for example, I drove 10 hours, and my hips were sharp. And I'm like, okay, so where is this coming from? Turns out that there's a thing in the seat, and it was pushing my hips forward instead of my back. But it wasn't adjusted for me. It was adjusted for someone shorter. So before I got back in the car and started driving again, then I adjusted the seat properly. If you listen to your body on a regular basis, your body will guide you. There's no need for any more painkillers. There's no need for any more medication. Like I said, for the food, pay attention. Now, my father passed away. He was 9 years old. And he already knew, I can't eat onions and I can't eat tomatoes and I can't eat this and I can't eat that because my body reacts negatively to these foods. All right. So we made sure that we didn't put these ingredients in whatever we were making. The whole idea of, you know, these cleanses that people are doing to clear their body of anything that's reacting to them is not to go back after that to the food you're eating. It's to slowly reintroduce food and see, how is my body reacting to this? How is my body talking to me about this? Your body doesn't really necessarily always talk with a language, which is why it's a little harder to listen. It talks to you through muscle spasm. It talks to you through sometimes pain. It doesn't have to get to that, but you have to listen to your body. So the physical body is also the repository of all the other bodies. Emotional body, spiritual body, mental body. So if you're not listening to these bodies as well, it gets dumped on the physical body. For example, you burn out from work. That's, some people say, oh, I work too much. I'm like, yeah. Or you're emotionally burned out. It's your emotions that can't handle any more emotions. And they're shutting down. And because they're shutting down your physical body. Right. So it's a little bit more complicated with the physical body. That's why we start there first, because we have to first take care of the physical part and then say, okay, so if there's something else, where's that coming from? If it's not the food that's making you having stomach problem, maybe it's your emotion. You're highly anxious. You have to examine every part of you. If your toes are hurting, they're talking to you too, right? It might be the shoes, or it might be the position you sit in. I teach yoga, and that is a specific exercise that we do just to stretch the toes. And it's amazing how people are like, oh, that part of me is not flexible whatsoever. And it's a very, very simple exercise. But when's the last time you actually took the time to stretch your toes? You know, you see the runners, they stretch their legs, their quads and everything else, but they don't stretch the toes. They don't think about the toes. Every part of you is an essential part of you feeling balanced and being grounded and standing straight. So if one of those is kiltered off, everything else follows suit. So let me just check. Imagine, and if you think that's a lot of work, it is in a sense. But imagine two friends who haven't not seen each other in a long time. What do they do? You know, even if it's, man, you guys go on a fishing trip. Are you going to hit that fishing boat and be silent for the fish right away? No. You're going to chat it up. Right? You do the chatting up first. You get to the fishing later. Or you do the chatting up first, and then you do whatever you had planned to do. And sometimes you get so excited, you're talking, and then this one is talking, oh, and reminds me, and you're not even fishing, talking about this, and you're jumping to the other thing. So the first time you listen to your body, that's the way it's going to be. They're going to fight for you. All your parts are going to jump for attention. So if you're trying to sit nice and still, and then you're going to go, oh, I'm being bombarded now. So you pick one and look at that one. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, okay, so my knee hurts. This isn't the first time. It doesn't just hurt when I'm meditating. And then you can start seeing a pattern. It always hurts after I spend time with my mom. So that's an emotional cause. The hip through the ankles in your body is all related to karma. So is it a big surprise then when you're finally sitting quiet, all of that pops up in your legs? Some people feel it in the shoulder because they can't seem to sit straight. So put everything on your side. So you have trouble sitting straight, go against the wall and lean against the wall. Okay, so this is my back straight. Now watch, am I slouching? Am I moving down? Oh, no, hang on. But if it's behind the hips and the ankle, it's your karma speaking to you, saying you're falling behind on your work here. There's something that you're not doing that you should be doing. So your body is going to be excited about talking to you, and it's going to take time to listen to all the parts of it and then understanding its language, because you told it, shut up, the whole time. So if you want it to talk, you have to be patient. And what do we do with young children who don't know how to speak well first? Right? We're saying, so is that what you mean? Is that what you're saying? And they'll look at you very frustrated and say, no. And it sounds like everything is called wah-wah for a while. And you're like, so water now, the wah-wah, I don't know. And wah-wah turns out it's the dog. And you're like, oh, dog. You mean dog, right? So we're teaching the children how to talk. We have to teach our body how to talk to us. Okay, I don't understand this. Where is this coming from? Take the time to build a relationship with your body. Now, how many of you here, and you're not going to show up on camera, so don't worry, but how many of you here are comfortable in their physical body right now?
In a what?
In your physical body. Are you comfortable with it? No. You're lucky, man. Are you able to stand in front of a mirror and look at yourself?
Sometimes.
Comfortably? No. Okay. So what are you saying to your body? I don't like you. Certainly don't love you. And sometimes I could do without you. Right? The repercussion of this emotion comes back to your physical body. You're made of energy. Right? You're made, the only difference between this couch and this woman is the way the molecules are assembled. But they're all molecules. And the only thing tying molecules together is energy. It's the sharing of electrons. We get really scientific there. And when you're saying, I don't like you, I don't like this part of me, I want to hide it. I don't like my nose. I don't like my hair. You're distorting the energy that you're made of. This distortion of energy is creating issues. It's creating the pain. It's creating the fear. It's creating the illness, if you have one. All right? So you have to make peace with the body. We'll talk about the body elemental a little further on, but I'll bring it up now. Do any of you know what the body elemental is? I'll take that as a no. The body elemental is the holder of memories. It's the recorder of every thought, words you have spoken, and every action you have taken in this life. It's the equivalent of your guardian angel. However, instead of standing here, it actually occupies the same space as you. It's sharing the space. It's the space between the molecule. That is what fills this space. There's no space. There's quantum energy, and this is body elemental as part of it. And this body and mental's job is to remember what your soul wanted to do on this planet at this time. And so sometimes, if it seems you're going in a very wrong direction, it will give you a sore foot. If you're still not listening, it will twist your foot, make your ankles weak, so you can't walk. This happened to me in 2004. I was on the path of, you know, paying the house and paying the car and buying this and buying that. I was just pursuing that because that's what I need that, because the TV told me I needed that, because the magazines told me I needed that, because society told me I needed that, right? I mean, it's not so long ago. You were, what do you call those, spinster? At like 25. So we think, oh, we're way past that now. Go ask a girl who's 23 and 25 what they should be doing. And a lot of them are still under the impression that they have to have children. That somehow it's their purpose. That they have to get, not necessarily married, but they should be in a relationship. Because if you're not in a relationship, there must be something wrong with you. It's an unsaid rule. Nobody sat me down and said, well, you know, this is what is expected of you. But somehow I have this strong belief guiding me. So I got in a relationship. I got married and I got three kids and I was perfectly unhappy. It's like, what did I go wrong? I did everything I was supposed to do. But that's not what my soul had planned on doing. And then eventually I pursued this and I pursued this until the point where I had fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is a pain disease. So your whole body hurts and the pain actually moves on you like a shuffleboard. And you never know the next day when you're going to wake up, where it's going to hurt, and if you're going to even be able to get out of bed. So I had to stop working. And I got my body back by doing this. So if I hadn't tried it first, I wouldn't be here talking to you. I wouldn't be sharing this wisdom that I acquired through much difficulty. The fibromyalgia is technically not it's an autoimmune disease, so it's not curable. But you can go in remission for it. So I'm technically in a remission. How does it work? When I do something, I ask, how am I feeling right now? I've been doing this right now. Do I still want to keep this? Does my body still want this, or my body needs a walk right now? Does my body still want this, or do I need to stretch right now? So I went back to work, but it was written in my going back to work contract that if I needed to stretch, I would go stretch. They could no longer keep me seated on my desk until lunchtime. So I was able to stretch. I was able to meditate. I was able to, but you know, how many people can do that? More and more people are becoming aware of this, but they still have to fit it in the schedule because they think it has to be a certain amount of time for it to work. You can stretch for 15 minutes, 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be a full-on sweat at the gym. It could just be chair exercises or stretching. This is a form of physical body meditation. If you're looking for examples, you can look at chair yoga. Chair yoga is simple. You can usually do it in fairly business clothes, unless you're wearing really, really, really tight pants or whatever. You can all of a sudden restore your posture and restore your alertness, your mental alertness, by doing this simple exercise. What else can we do for the physical meditation? There is such a thing as walking in nature. Walking in cement is very hard for your back. I walked the Camino in Spain for 31 days. I did 800 kilometers on foot. I did fine. I tried training for it before I went in the city. I was walking on pavement and it killed my back completely. I have to walk on dirt trails. I have to be able to get off the cement. So pick a spot. There's plenty of nature trail no matter where you live, and go on a nature trail. You have to be gone all day. You don't need to carry 3 days worth of food with you. Start with a half an hour. Just get out and move. It sounds insignificant when you say it like that, but 20 to 30 minutes walking a day will make you already healthier. Your blood pressure will go down. Your anxiety will go down. It will affect all these other parts of you because remember, the emotional body stores in the physical body. They all dump in the physical body. And if the physical body is able to move, it's moving that as well. There is also a thing as called a moving meditation. So for all of you out there who have trouble meditating sitting still, moving meditation is the solution for you. There's different types of moving meditation. An example is Tai Chi. Movements, slow. So anybody, any age can do Tai Chi. It doesn't require great physical strength, but it does require you to focus on movement. Right? And as you're moving, you can say, oh, okay, I just reach that way. Right? But the more you move in your body, the more your body is going to be happy. And the more you will be at ease in your physical body. Another moving meditation is, I'm talking about Reiki here, but there's a specific rhythm that you can do to just move your arms. But even if you're in nature, you can still move. There's part of you that can still move. Another moving meditation is yoga. Now, I'm not talking about extreme heat yoga. I'm not talking about, which I've heard recently, swearing yoga or heavy metal music yoga. It's a meditation practice. So I'm traditionally trained. So music, if there is any, should be very calming. And your movement should be measured. So it's not about doing the most number of movements in a half an hour. It's about doing each movement perfectly. So if in a half an hour you only manage to do 5 movements, you only do 5. But you do them perfectly. So we have to get out of ego and back into the soul. So the ego is the one that wants to say, oh, I did all these movements and I did them in an hour. Right? Your soul wants to say, I don't care what anybody thinks how many movements I made. I want to be happy with what I've done. If that do have to do the same movement 3 times, I'll repeat 3 times. Because your soul doesn't judge. Ego judges. And so you have to get out of ego. But ego is the mental body, and we're still in the physical body. This is why it's good to alternate. So you're working on little bits of yourself all week long. So the yoga part, you don't need to be all doing these fancy reverse standing, you know, that you're wondering how it looks like a pretzel, right? Simple stretching movement. That's what yoga is. The most important pause in yoga is the last one, Shavasana, where you lay flat on the ground on your back, palms up, body straight. Why is that? No suggestion? Because your body has had time to move now. Your body has time to express itself. And now when you go into Shavasana, you're trying to listen to the mind. You're trying to access the first door. Because you paid attention to the body, now you're saying, now it's time for the mind to speak. That's the access of the doors I was speaking when we began. So the complete idea is to be in your body, to feel your body, and to respect your body. So it's not about winning the marathon. It's about participating in the 1K fun run, right? That's what it's about. There might not be any big medals at the end, but the rewards are for you. They're not to show anybody. They're not to hang on your wall. They're not to post because you want someone else to love you and approve of you. You need to approve of yourself. And so if you only have yourself to take care of and to love, doesn't that change things? If you're no longer trying to follow the standards of I should be a size 6 or size 4 or size 0 and I shouldn't have my hair done a certain way or makeup done a certain way and I shouldn't look a certain way. This is the way I look because I'm comfortable. Now I look. This is what works for me. Does not change things. How many of the things are you doing every day to fit what someone else said you should be fitting?
How many times a day? That's a good question.
When you're doing what you're doing, like the way you dress, the way you eat, the way you do anything you do, are you doing it because that's what you want to do, or are you doing it because someone told you that's the way it should be done?
Oh, gosh, you know, it's out of habit, usually.
Okay. So that's where we need to question. First of all, we need to question our habit. Am I doing this because I've done this for 20 years, or am I doing this because I still want to do this? That's the first thing you have to ask yourself. Am I enjoying taking care of the garden, or is the garden a chore and I despise it? Am I enjoying, like, I'll take an example. Someone told me that it was crazy of me to still make my kids lunch even though they were in high school. So I sat my kids down and I said, well, you guys are old enough to make your own lunches. I said, if it brings you power, you can make your own lunches. I won't stop you. However, it does bring me joy to make your lunch. It feels good to pack your little things and, you know, make your little hearts and the sandwiches, and nobody knows unless you open the sandwich, but it brings me joy. That wasn't a chore for me. And they said, well, actually, Mom, when you make the sandwiches, they seem to taste better. I said, okay. And so I continued to do the lunch because that brought me joy. Something that didn't bring me joy was pick up after them. I said, so that's not fun, and you're not being responsible, and you are big enough to do that. So I think that you should do that, though. You'll learn something, right? Because it doesn't bring me joy to pick up after you. It doesn't bring me joy to clean your room that you dirty every time I clean. So that I'm not going to do anymore. So it doesn't mean you have to stop everything you're doing, but you have to ask yourself, can I create time for myself to do the yoga or the walking meditation or the movement meditation? You have to ask yourself, I can't remember the last time we turned on the TV. To be honest with you, I actually, I don't turn the TV on. So it's, but it's there. So we leave it there because, you know, maybe we'll watch a movie on it. But do you know how much time that freed out of my week? Freed hours every day. Think about it. You have dinner and then you sit in front of the TV in general. I'll be generous. I'll say 8. And you stay there until at least 10, if not 11. It's 3 hours a day. And are you watching happy shows? Are you watching things that make you smile? Or are you watching murders and mayhem and chaos? And what is that doing again to the energy? This energy is being affected even though it's on the TV, because it's creating emotions that are stirring up your vibrations. Instead, you could be outside listening to the birds chirping away while walking in the park. There is time. You just need to analyze this time, which is the part that we're going to get into now with the mental body. One last thing. If you're starting to walk and starting to move, after that, start to sit in meditation. Don't do an hour. Start with 5 minutes. See what your body has to say for 5. If you're comfortable with 5 for a few days, then go to 6. And if you're comfortable with 6 for a few days, then just go up. Slowly go up. And then you'll reach a point where you're going to go, oh, wow, I'm glad that last minute was a lot of work. Stay there until it's not. Okay? Then your physical body will let go and allow you to go through the door of the mental body. Why do we go to the mental before we go to the emotional? Because the emotional is 90% of our issues, because we're not ready yet. Just like you will start jogging before you start running, and you will jog and run for a little while before you start sprinting or doing the marathon or whatever it is you want. The mental body is also energetic. But a lot of people think, well, this is the mental right here. No, it's not. Your mental body is actually bigger than your physical body. So it expands all around you. Because what is the mental body? And some people think mental illness, right? Like depression or those things. That's an emotional illness. It's not a mental illness. A real true mental illness is a lack of creativity, the lack of curiosity, the lack of wanting to learn. You know the old saying, the day you stop learning is the day you die? Right? You've heard that before, right? So I remember my mother, she used to say, oh, I learned something new today. I'm going to die today. I was like, that's so morbid, Mom. But she's like, oh, you got to keep learning. It's important. You got to keep learning. But she was right. There was truth in that. You have to keep learning. Your mental body needs to be awake. You need to be challenged. Not to be uncomfortable, to feel like you're drowning, but being challenged, being cool. It's funny because now there's Google. And so, of course, my kids, you know, I say, geez, I wonder about that. And I say, oh, hang on. There's your answer. It's quick. It's easy. There's no, let's go to the library. Let's pull out a book. Let's read. Let's make our own opinion about this. Right? That is killing the mental body. Picking up a book and reading. And I guess I don't mean murder mysteries or anything like that. Pick up a biography, for instance. What have they learned? Why are you laughing?
Like,
an example, she says, she's quoted my book and I drag it. But when you're reading about these people's life, be curious. So that's how they change. That's why they change. If you're attracted to a certain person's biography, ask yourself, how does their life relate to mine? What is it I can learn without having to go through all the ordeal that this person has went through and apply it to my life now? And that's why we take classes. And it's not for the lack of classes. If you go to your community centers or your city or you're looking around, there's plenty of things of multiple people looking to get together more than ever. Why is that? Because the rest of the time, people are not looking at each other and they're looking at their phone. Right? They're like this, they're like that. And their name is being called and oh, coffee. And they're not even saying, and the person in the eye, thank you for making my coffee. They grab the coffee and they run. There's no human contact. And now people are realizing, I need contact. I need physical contact. I need to be hugged. I need to be touched. I need to be acknowledged. I need to be looked in the eye. That's the mental body. That is the mental body. We're not talking about loneliness. We're not talking about emotion. We're talking about discussions, opinions, discussing ideas. That is the mental body. There's nothing more interesting than to sit across someone and not talk about people, but talk about their ideas, their plans. This curiosity of maybe, you really? Actually, I know this person and they said the same thing. You guys could get together, right? The mental body needs to exercise and it needs to be strong because that's where you're manifesting. And I just promised before we started that I would do a manifesting talk because people don't know how to manifest. They want to manifest, but they're focusing on the wrong things. They manifest for 5 minutes in the morning. I want abundance, I want abundance, I want abundance, I want abundance. And they go through the day thinking of everything they're lacking. They're not creating abundance. Their thoughts are in the wrong place. So you need to meditate with the mental body. You need to be in touch with this energy that is sitting, often latent, sleeping there. It's incredible power. It's actually bigger than your physical body. There's incredible potential there. But if you're never linking to that energy, you're never linking to that body, and you're never listening to this body, you have an unused, untapped resource that is sitting there, neglected. The problem with the mental body is that that's where the ego sits. And the ego likes to keep us very, very, very busy. So we don't have to feel, which is the next door. But we have to quiet down the ego like we quiet down a little child. So we have to listen. We have to sit and be patient. So when I say with the mental body, you must first try to declutter your mind. And how do you know this is going to work? You're going to start decluttering your office. You're going to start decluttering your house. You're going to even get to the garage and start cleaning the garage. And people are going to say, what's gotten to you, Mom? What are you doing? You've been piling stuff in the garage for years, and now you're all of a sudden you're just pulling everything out. Yeah. What do I need? What do I not need? Why is this stuff there? What am I so worried about or afraid about that I don't want to throw anything away, or I don't want to clean anything, or I don't want to look at it? People's income tax. Why is that such a big deal? If throughout the year you're putting everything nice and neat and organized, then you get to the end of the year and you pull your stack, it's done, bye, see you. You have to do it anyway. Why is it such a reluctance to doing the things that we have to do? Because you might get triggered. And that's where the ego comes in. The ego's job is to protect your inner child. Believe it or not, it's a very necessary function. But when things happen to you as a child, and you're growing up, and then the ego says, I promise I will never let this happen to you again. So he stands at the door, armed with weapons and armor, and says, you shall not pass. And so, oh, no, emotion coming your way, go this way. Or if we sit down, and how often does this happen? We sit down, and then you say, I can't sleep. No, you can't sleep because you're thinking of all the things you try to avoid all day. Because it's finally quiet. Laying down before you sleep is a type of meditation, you know. Laying there on your back, your eyes closed. It's meditation. If you can't sleep, sit up. Listen to these thoughts in all awareness. Don't try to go to sleep on them. That gives you a nightmare. One of the best way, and I was a very mental person, so I know what I'm talking about here. The best way to quiet your mind is to have a pad of paper and a pen. And then you try to meditate, and then you go, oh, it's hard for me to find an example because I don't do it anymore, but put the garbage out. Put the garbage out. Okay, try and meditate. Buy dog food. Buy dog food. Okay, go back. You didn't do this on your work. Okay, you're at home. You punched out, and now your mind is reminding you of things to do at work. You're like, wow, okay. This list, the first time I did this, was 3.5 pages long. Okay? What do you think this happens in your head? It's like a tornado where there's a piece of paper that flies in front of your face. You read the message, buy dog food. You're like, oh, yeah. Taking away the next thought. Everything is circling around you. Everything is a big mess. You need to reset yourself and say, okay, put the garbage out. I keep forgetting to put the garbage out. What can I do so my mind can relax and not forget to put the garbage out? Everybody's got phones now. For those of you old-fashioned like me, you can have an agenda. I write it down. Because when I look at my day and I go, oh, garbage out tonight. And before I go to bed and I look at my agenda, oh, did I do everything? Yes. What tomorrow? What time do I have to get up? What time do I have to get ready? Do I have to be anywhere? Should I bring a lunch? I prepare those because those are all written down. My mind is no longer worried about giving me those constant messages because I eased it. We're not forgetting anything anymore. It's on the paper. God forbid if I lose that agenda, though. I will cry. But everything is in there. You have to find ways to look at what your mind is concerned with and then take each of those concerns and address them. I'm worried about my exam next week. I don't know how many times I heard my kids say that. Did you study for it? Well, no. Okay. So the best way not to be worried is to start studying now and not try to cram everything in your little head the day before. Let's establish a plan of study. Let's see. So you have 10 chapters to study. You'll study chapter 1 and 2 tonight, 2 and 3 and 4, and then 5 and 6. And then we'll do a quick revision on the night before and you get a good night's sleep and you'll be A-okay. You're worried about retirement. Okay, I had someone who said, how did you retire at 43? I started thinking about it when I was 20. So I said, I don't want to retire at 65. I want to do traveling. I want to do this. I want to do that. That's what's important to me. How can I achieve that? I realign my priorities. I realign with my mental body. How are we going to achieve this? I lived in the now. What are my resources now? How much of those resources can I save? And this is what the mental body is about. is you need to be able to look at where you're spending your money, because that's probably your biggest worry. I don't have enough money. Fine. I'm not going to argue with you. If you don't have money, you don't have money. What I'm saying is now, when you're meditating, ask yourself, do I need everything I have? We did this exercise in my house, and we went through every piece of closet and item in the cupboards, and I started counting how many towels I had, how many shoes I had, how many jackets I had. It was a very long list. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, how many towels do I need? That number was a lot less than what I had in my closet. And then I started examining the things in my cupboard. I had a waffle maker, never used it. I had all these fancy gadgets, never used them. But I spent money on those things. Either because an ad made it look cool, or because it was on sale, or whatever the reason was. And then I added all this money that I had spent, not counting the shoes and the clothes, and I realized I spent a lot of money on a lot of things that I actually don't need. So I cut back. And I donated everything I wasn't using. I didn't sell it, I donated it. So I remind myself next time I'm going to buy something, is that going to be ending up at someone else's house? All right. Do I really need this? And then I realized I had a lot more money than I thought I did. Or at the very least, I didn't need as much money. So it allowed me room to breathe. And because I wasn't so busy trying to make use of all these things for feeling guilty for having bought all those things, I could actually focus on the things I really wanted to do. The mental body meditation requires work in the actual day of your life. It's only bringing awareness to you of what needs to change, and then you need to change it. So if you want to clear your mental body, you need to be actually looking at your life and follow the messages you're getting. So, ego also gets in the way of that, because it says, but we need a bigger house because otherwise we're not successful, or we need nicer furniture because people are going to go in and they're going to judge us. Right? We don't like being judged. Nobody likes being judged. And so we're so afraid of being judged by others that we're coming up with all these things to make the place look nice in a certain way. And it has to look, I have to look a certain way because otherwise I'm not going to be taken seriously. I'm not going to be acknowledged, or I'm not going to be loved even. And so while you're working through the mental body, you'll go through all the judgments you have received in your life. That's the mental body. You will go through actions you've taken, not necessarily talking about dishonest or bad actions, but things that you did that you didn't want to do, but you did it anyway, because how is everybody else going to think of me if I don't do this? You're tired. You're exhausted. Someone asks you, would you do this? And you say, well, yes. This is going to look bad if I say no. I'm not the nice person anymore. I'm not the person that always says yes. Well, you had plans to just go paint tonight or go draw or just do something fun. The mental body meditation helps you reprioritize your life. And it's not being selfish. It's not being ignorant. It's being you. So the ego, you can recognize it with what some refer to as the seven sins. So greed, lust, wrath, gluttony, envy, pride, and sloth.
Good is
you need more money, you need more things, you need more power, you need more wealth, you need more. The lust is true sex, you get close to someone, but because it's lust, you actually never get anywhere in depth. You have the touch, you have the contact, but you're completely superficial. The wrath is you're angry and you won't forgive. You blame, you destroy, you reject all responsibility onto others. The gluttony is nothing is satisfying. So we think gluten is food, but it can be anything. It could be that's where you buy too much food, or alcohol, or cigarettes, or drugs, or anything that passes through your mouth to fill this hole, this gaping hole inside of you. That will never be filled. Because this gaping hole is the love for yourself that you don't have. That is the hole you're trying to fill with other things. And it can't come from the outside. It has to come from the inside. Envy is that nothing is ever enough. So you need to have what others have because they're happy. Because their grass is greener. Right? It's only when we start knowing more about our neighbors that we realize, oh, they looked happy, but he beat his wife for 20 years. They looked happy, but they're bankrupt now. They were trying to keep up with you, you know? And that when the truth comes out, you're like, wow, okay, well, they're bankrupt. He beats his wife. Man, my life isn't so bad after all, right? So why were you chasing all these things in the first place? Pride. You need recognition. You need perfection. Because if you're nothing but perfection, then you're not good enough. And sloth is you're not taking responsibility for your life, your decision, and you're the ultimate victim. Everything is happening to you. That is real sloth. People think sloth is just being lazy, but it's being lazy in a spiritual way when we talk about ego. So the meditation for the mental body is to first gain your faith back in the universe. The universe will provide if you're on the right path. If you're not being provided for, it's because you're not on the right path. I was not provided with health because I was on the wrong path. A friend of mine was not provided with money because she gave it all away. You know, because she felt guilty, because people feel shame, because people have different emotions. They let those emotions guide their actions. Then you need a connection with yourself and others, but outside of sex. No sex involved. No sex required. Then you need to forgive yourself and others. And you will, if you truly understand the meaning of forgiveness, you'll understand that really the only person you need to forgive is yourself. Because you, in the first place, if you go back far enough, you created the very situation you're in. Then you need to feel full. And for that, you need to have gratitude. Right? There's me sitting in my kitchen looking at all this stuff I have, going, wow, and I want more. Really. I need to be grateful for what I had and let someone else be grateful for what I had to give. Right? If you have a roof over your head and you have food on your table and clothes to put on and shoes to walk in, those are all things to be grateful for. You don't need to be grateful for the 10 pair of shoes. Do we really need 10 pair of shoes? Right? And that's what you need to look at. But if you're in an attitude of gratefulness as opposed to an attitude of one thing, then you realize, okay, well, I don't really need all these things. Then, through the mental body meditation, you learn that you are the best that you can be. At this time, it doesn't mean you have to stop learning. It doesn't mean that you stop improving. But if you're always putting your best foot forward and you're putting your best of yourself in what you do, and you know that, why do you need someone else's approval? Why do you need someone else to say you're good enough? You become your own judge. You become your own guide. If that's all you could do, that's all you could do. If you feel you could do more next time. Then you are enough, and it's okay to ask for help. Why having to do everything on your own? You're not meant to be alone. You're meant to be a human, having a human experience in a human world. You were given the power of speech, you were the power of thought, the power of your hands. Ask for help. It's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough. It means that, contrary, you're recognizing that someone else might be better at this, and it'd be great if you had their input. Now, we do this to build houses, right? We hire an architect, we hire a building company. We do this for our cars, we go see a mechanic. But we don't do this for ourselves. When it comes to us, all of a sudden, we have to do everything on our own. You don't have to, and you're not alone.
And finally,
you're responsible for your words, your action, and your thoughts. Therefore, there's nobody else to blame. Now, some of you are going to say, yeah, well, I was raised this way. Or, yeah, well, my husband was like this. Well, yes, but who picked a husband? I did. Right? If you go back far enough, you will realize that at one point, nobody tied me to a chain and made me stay with my husband for all the years I was married, even though I was unhappy. I stayed. I can't blame him for being who he is. I can only forgive myself for having stayed this long. You understand? Yeah? Okay.
So, ask yourself while you're meditating, right?
So these are questions that you should enter after you're starting to meditate, because that's when you're trying to access the soul to get your answers, not ego.
And ego seems to be put to sleep by meditation. So this is the best way to deal with it. So
ask yourself these questions and then look around your house. Start with that. If you don't think that clearing, cleaning, and decluttering are not an exercise of meditation, try it. If you're entering with a feeling of I'm clearing, you will be amazed what you're going to find.
And let go as well.
So now, when I said the mental body is
creativity and the curiosity,
one way of meditating with the mental body is to draw, and it's to paint, and it's to dance, and it's to cross-stitch, and it's to sew, it's to garden, it's to be creative. So if you can enter a creative time, then it's a great time to listen to your mental. Now, any of you garden or paint or draw or do any of these things?
I'm just only hearing little bits of what you're saying. When you quiet down like that.
I'm sorry.
Those things that you just said, that's enough really clear.
So in order to meditate with a mental body, you need to meditate with creativity. So you can be creative if you're gardening. Because for someone who's not a gardener, they're just planting a plant. So no, really, they're organizing the colors, the size. You don't put a small plant behind a big plant. But in that creativity motion, you can access your mental body. When I'm painting, that's when the thoughts are flowing through me.
Yeah.
Right? So someone who is sewing, because they're mindless things. They don't occupy your mind like a crossword. Not a good one for mental meditation. Because it requires to constantly think. So in order to access your mental body, you have to get out of thinking, which is what meditation is about. But it's really hard to sit there and get out of thinking. But if you can do something that is creative, then it will see through. Now, people are going to say, I don't know how to draw. You don't need to. It can be completely abstract. But in your choice of colors, in just in coloring book is a meditative process. You can do mandalas, or you can do a flower, it doesn't matter. But while you're doing that, and all you're thinking about is the next color you're going to pick, your mind will be free to speak with you. Dancing. I'm not talking ballroom dancing, counting steps. I'm talking about undulating with the music and just being in the now of the sound. Your mind will seep through. Another one that can help you is, we talked about reading books and being inspired. You can read psalms. You can read quotes. For example, you read a quote from Confucius, and then you close your eyes and you think about that quote. Does that relate to me? And does that apply to my life? And then listen. Don't try think your way through. Just listen. But get your mind a space for it to speak and to be awake. Another one is images are very strong. Now, we see that through, Pinterest, Instagram, and Facebook. There's images, and you see that image, and then you want to read the message. You can look at images.
And sometimes people look at movies. I know movies really, really, really get me. So I will watch something and all of a sudden a remembering will come. Yes? So those are different ways to access your mental. But the more creative on your part you are, the easier it is to access your own. So you don't need to be talented. You don't need to be gifted. And it doesn't have to be pretty. Right? Those are all judgments. All I'm asking you is to play. Just play. And see what comes through. So, again, it's not necessarily a meditation of you sitting down and doing nothing. It's a meditation that encourages you to let the messages seep through. A good one is a visualization. But for a visualization, you need someone to give it to you. So, listen to the visualization before you meditate with it to see if it applies. If you're like, ooh, I don't like that image. Ooh, no, I don't want that. Then don't meditate with that one. There are several types available all over the place. An easy one, if you want, they're all free on YouTube on my channel, is the meditation of the chakras. So you simply go from one chakra to the next, right? You work your way up, and we do all the chakras in your body. But through the chakras, I explain what the chakras are, and I tell you, here is where you deal with family, safety, security, and then I give you time. What does surface when you're allowing your mind to give you the messages, right? So you don't want a visualization that walks you from A to Z to one place to the next. You want to have the time to have some freedom. You go to a beach, it's a sunset, you hear the crashing of the wave, there's a soft breeze, and you sit in the sand, and then it stops, and the music continues. Well, what does happen? Does Don Juan arrive on his white horse? Or, you know, is there a bunch of kids that come running? Or what happens? Where's your mind at? Dreaming, imagining is all part of the mental body. If you have stopped dreaming, if you have stopped looking forward to tomorrow, your mental body needs clearing. And then when it's finally clear, when your mind quiets down, your mind has been heard, your concerns have been addressed, solutions have been found, the last door opens to your heart. Not the last door, the second door, sorry. And what is in the heart but the emotions? What happens? Your mind is cleared, your fears are gone, you're at peace now, and you can feel. And by now, your ego should be asleep because your ego is there guarding that door. So he'll go and have a nap, and you get into your heart. Well, just like we have to quiet the body and we have to quiet the mind, we have to quiet the heart. Now, how many of you will cry in public? You will? I cry all the time. How many of you will laugh at work? Some of you do? Okay. I was a policewoman. I was not allowed to feel. The second I put on that uniform, I couldn't laugh because it wasn't funny. And I couldn't cry either, even though it was very sad. There's actually a picture on Facebook today of a Mountie sitting on the ground back to his car, and he's holding a doll. So I don't know what the whole story is, but I imagine he's just seen something atrocious, and he can't handle it. But why is his picture on Facebook? Do you understand what I mean?
Because of the contrast.
Yes, but imagine what it's going to do to him now. There's a certain image that's not being upheld now. Right? There's certain obligations that we have to do. A professional won't do certain things. Yes, but they're still human. I would make a very bad doctor because I try to make people laugh all the time because that's just who I am. Right? So when I put on that uniform, felt like I was in a cage. Because I couldn't feel 12 hours out of my day. All these repressed emotions. You can't cry because I was raised with 6 boys. Because you're a boy, crying means a weakness. You can't do this because that's not appropriate. You can't do that. And so you have to stand there stiff as a rod and look like a robot. Does that mean you're not having emotions throughout the day? No. You do have them, but what do you do with them? I'm sorry? You suppress them. You bottle them up. You box them up. Whatever expression you want to use. But you put them away in a very dark corner and recess of your subconscious, and you say, no, not now, not now. And then your ego says, oh, well, not now, not tomorrow, not next week, no, that can happen. Because now you have 10 years of sadness bottled up, and you have 5 years of angry bottled up, and you have, if you let one pop, they're all going to pop. It's not safe for you to feel, and we're not going to go there. So it keeps being bottled up more. Until something atrocious happened or something extremely happy. And then, you know, people see them crying at wedding. You're like, why are they crying? It's a wedding. They should be happy. But all of a sudden, all the longing that they had, let's say it's the mother of the groom, all the longing and all the missing, and now he's leaving for good to be with another woman. And he's really leaving now. They're saying it's tears of happiness, but are they really? Or is it the first time, because it's a wedding, it's allowed, she's crying, but her feelings are all jumbled up because all these bottles are popping in the basement, going pop, 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 pop. You're going to miss him. You still love him, but this and that, and you know. Now it's your chance to empty some of the basement, and the door's open, so now it's come flooding. I was in BC for 20 years, and the rest of my family was all in Quebec. I missed them, but I wasn't allowed to miss them, you see, because I didn't have the money to go back home. So I only had enough money to maybe go every 2 years. And if I allowed myself to be lonely, this emotion would have been overwhelming. And I wouldn't have been able to function and take care of the 3 kids and, you know, work and do everything else that had to be done. Until I finally went home. And then I had them over for dinner. And I'm trying to greet them for dinner, and I don't drink alcohol, but we toasted with apple juice. And I couldn't talk. I was completely overwhelmed with emotions. And they're looking at me. They went on. That's fine. Right? They're like, what are you doing? You know, you gotta make us cry. Stop it. And I said, no, I won't stop. I have missed you. And now it's okay for me to feel that because you're here. Right? So, same thing happened. I'm in Peru, of all places, playing pool. Who would have thought, right? And who did I used to play pool with but my dad? But he's passed away now. Right, we do the regular morning and stuff, right? But all of a sudden, I really realize I really miss my dad. Not because I'm in trouble, not because things are wrong. I wish he was there playing pool with me. So the emotion welled up to the surface, and I was crying, and I said, okay, I'm done right now. And then people are like, oh, come on. You know, just keep playing, right? Why do we do that to people? Why do we not honor their emotions? It's uncomfortable because now maybe I'll wake something up in you. Mm-hmm. Oh, ego is saying, no, stop her right now. Do something, right? We have to allow people. When someone is crying, don't say, oh, shush. Stop crying. No. If you see me with someone who's crying, you go, all right, let it out, man. Talk to me about it. What's going on? Right? This is what we did all week last week in Shasta. I had a group of women there, and they all cried, and they're like, oh, they spend the week with Sonia. Doesn't mean they're going to cry. Like, yes, because it's safe to cry here. Because it's okay. Because you can tell us what's on your heart, and you get it off your heart. And this, I promise, if you allow yourself to feel, it's like gas or a candle. It'll run out of gas. It'll run out of candle. It won't last forever. Excuse me. If you live it in the moment, it's even shorter. It's a lot easier. Because you're not dragging it. And it's not attaching itself to all these other sad moments or angry moments or other moments. But you need a safe place. Where is that safe place going to be for you? Is that safe place going to be in the meditation room? Is it going to be in your bedroom? For a lot of women, it's in the bathroom. That's why we take long baths. That's where we let it all out. You guys don't see it, but there's people shaking their heads. Because those emotions are affecting your physical body because they're energy. It might be hard to understand, but just like thoughts are creating an energy wavelength, so are your emotions. So think, if I don't know if any of you ever stopped to think, but you have a phone. Your phone's not linked to anything, and yet there's images that are arriving from all over the place. How are they traveling? How does it go from you sitting there to me taking a picture and me out of nowhere connected to your phone and send it to you, and you have a picture of her from 10,000 miles away? It's energy. It gets transformed into data that is sent along the streamline of energy. Why can we do this? Because we're manipulating electrons and frequencies. Your emotions are doing exactly the same to your body. So, ignore being sad too long, what happens? You get a depression. Ignore being angry for too long, then you develop problems. That it can be anger management problems, or it can be problems of repressed anger, which is going to cause illness inside of your physical body. I don't think anybody really ignores joy, but they let it fleet away, right? We are ignoring everything about who we are. So is it a surprise that we don't know who we are? Is it a surprise that we don't know what we should be achieving with our life? No, you never listen to any parts of you. So why should that part of you be heard? So it's important that you ask yourself, when's the last time you examine your feelings? Really, truly. When are you asking, anytime during the day, how am I feeling right now? Right? Because I do this. Because my body talks to me right away. Because I listen to it. So now our communication is excellent. So I'm getting really stressed. My heartbeat's racing. My hands are shaking. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling like this because, okay, what am I doing about it to calm this? Okay. And then all these symptoms disappear because I felt the emotion. I honored it in the moment. In order to heal yourself and to balance yourself, you need to feel safe, feel loved, feel free, and feel at peace. And those are the four things that meditation can give you. Now, do we start understanding why meditation is so important now? Your feelings of fears, anger, resentment, sadness, shame, guilt, grief keep you in the dark. They keep you in the realm of the ego. If you have any of these and you need to speak to someone, that's when you can go to a counselor. That's also when you can join a group. They have groups that you can just talk. If you add to that any issues such as gambling, alcoholism, drug abuse, any of those things, you can join an AA group in your area. You need to talk. You need to express these things. And at first it feels like it's never going to end, but eventually it does dry up. But the longer you kept it bottled up, the longer it takes.
A lot of people I've spoke with clients quite often. Oh, if I ever feel that, if I ever really let myself feel this sadness or this pain, it'll just take me right over. You know, they're just so
They're afraid of the tsunami of taking them over, taking them down, or breaking them apart. It's very true. That's why you need a safe place.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need a safe person. And it's not always going to be your spouse. Or someone you related to. But you need to find that place where you can live those emotions and realize, oh, I survived this. Oh, I survived that. I do recommend the Eye Dragon because I do that in the book. I explain how I was taken over by a tsunami and it was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Driving in traffic downtown for an hour. And all the people passing my car look at me going, oh my gosh, what's happening to this woman? I could feel that they almost wanted to stop their car and come and check on me because I was hungry crying. But it was finally out. And I didn't want to put it back in. I really did not. So you can work with the emotional body having an emotional experience. I encourage you to have a positive, enlightening emotional experience, which means go to a botanical garden. Look at butterflies. You know, sit in front in a museum of a beautiful painting. Let it stir your emotions. Let yourself, your heart be awakened again. Read an old letter. Write a poem. Read a poem. Trigger the emotional response in you. I'm not too good with English poets because I studied in French in university, so I know only the French ones. I know pretty good French ones, but there is something that will stir you, and that's when you have to let it. You'll have to let it happen. You have to let it be awakened again. And I promise you won't break. It will shake you, but it won't break you. and all this, I talked about this. All this happens because you're going to live in the now. Not about what people are going to think, because that's in the future. Not because, you know, if this happens, this might happen. No. So how are you feeling right now? Yeah.
Very relaxed.
Very relaxed. So stay in the now. Don't go into tomorrow and next week and 2 years from now. I keep asking yourself, and I challenge you to do this, if you put your alarm on your phone or your watch to ding every hour, and on that hour you take 5 seconds and asking yourself, how do I feel now? 90% of the time, you're going to feel relaxed, composed, quiet, and fine. And the ones that you're not, you're going to go, oh, okay, it's time to either feel that emotion or correct that emotion. There's no wrong emotion, but you're having these emotions for a reason. And you have to stop ignoring them. And taking that 5 minutes every hour is also meditation. You understand how meditation doesn't have to be complicated now. And you can do it on the bus, and you can do it just not while you're driving, right? I have to say this because some people do. But pretty much anywhere, you can stop and take 5 minutes and ask yourself, okay, so where does this come from? Why am I feeling this way? Then examine, which is interesting because if you're watching TV and it bings on the hour, it's going to be the new show starting, or, you know, ask yourself, okay, how's this show going to make me feel? What I'm about to do now, is that going to bring me joy? Is that going to bring me peace? I did an experiment. I'm bad for that. I do experiments all the time. I watched Criminal Mind for 12 hours. After 12 hours, I wanted to puke. I wanted to vomit. And I thought the world was awful, and that these horrible things were happening in the world I live in. And oh my God, I was disgusted with the world and the people's behavior. Right? So that was my experiment. So I journaled all that. And then the next day, I listened to things like, funny things. Grace and Frankie, which is hilarious. It's really funny. And I did a whole day of, you know, Laurel and Hardy and Chaplin, and, you know, although Chaplin at times can be hard, but, and then I was like, wow, it's funny. I still watch 12 hours of TV, but I feel completely different because I picked completely different things to see and watch. The last time I watched the news, I was 21. So these experiments have been going on for a long time. I can't watch the news. I can't read the paper because I'm so sensitive that they affect me greatly. And if it's really important, I guarantee you someone else will tell you all about it. If you really need to hear it, you'll hear of it. So none of that stuff is entering my house anymore. I don't think my children even know what the news are, because they never were exposed to it. Yeah.
So instead, occupy your time with positive things because you want to stir those feelings. Why do we cry when we remember something about someone who passed away? I'm sorry? Because you're afraid you will never have that emotion with someone else again. You're afraid that you will never be close to another person and allow to feel those feelings again. However, the feeling is still there. It's still imprinted in your field. And all you need to do is relive that moment for what it was. This moment of joy, this moment of catching a fish, this moment of going sandboarding in the desert and seeing them tumbling down and laughing and having a good time. As long as you remember that those are still accessible. Just as much, and if for you that don't believe me, you still remember when that person kicked you or rear-ended you, and then you get it just as angry as you were in that moment, do you know? You're retelling the story with just as much anger and just as much violence as you did the first time. So why can't you relive that love or that joy with as much intensity? You can. We just need to practice that more. When I speak of the emotional body, there's a part of it that is linked to forgiveness. If you ever want to learn more about that, that's more soul things. If you're interested, that's about the Akashic Records. So listen to the podcast on Akashic Records. Okay, there's plenty of podcasts, and there are, even though individual of each other, they're all linked. And if there's a piece missing, it's because it's already somewhere else. So help yourself to all of those. So I told you the way to get to the emotional meditation is to feel in the moment, to go to a location where it will stir your heart, or look at a picture that will stir your heart. Okay, so be where you are being stirred. You can also look at yourself naked in the mirror. That will bring up a lot of emotion. Stare at your scars that you have in your body. Because if they're there in your body, they're there in your emotional state as well. Someone who tells me, oh, it's an old injury and it hurts again. It's not the injury that hurts again. It's the emotion that's tied to that injury that's making itself felt again. So eventually, when you're done crying, laughing, and living all these emotions, you will finally have the last door open to your inner child. And that's the door to your spiritual world. That's the door to your spiritual body. That's the door to connect to your soul. What it feels when you get there is pure love, pure acceptance, and absolute peace. It's a treasure. It's a gift. I'm just looking at my time. I just can't pass 90 minutes for that one.
You feel peace, love.
You love all parts of you. There's not a part of you that's now being neglected. There's not a part of you that's being pushed away because you've done the three bodies before. And so you arrive at the conclusion that you are whole. And who you are is all those, the scars and all. They don't make you ugly. They make you you.
I like what I heard quite some time ago, a couple times, said that in Spirit's eyes, we're already perfect.
Oh, definitely.
And there's still room for improvement.
Well, the improvement is in the life lessons that we're here to learn, right? It's not in the physical body. It's in learning the lessons. So yes, there's still room to learn. So the goal of your meditation is to enter this castle of light, this inner castle of where your inner child resides. And there you can play. There you can laugh. There you can just hold each other and rock each other and love each other. But before you get there, there's work to be done. Be patient with yourself and allow yourself to get there. Not on your ego's agenda, but on your soul's agenda, which is pure acceptance and full of love.